Welcome back. This is Negawani with me, Ibrahim Sani. Brain drain is only a symptom, according to Dr. Rais Hussein, President and CEO of Emory Research. This is because if you look at the surface of the brain drain issue in Malaysia, some will attribute it to the poor execution of the affirmative policy that is well-meaning but ended favouring only a selected few in nearly all spheres of socioeconomic life. And because they might not be entirely wrong, but the poor execution of the affirmative action policy itself is a symptom of a much more fundamental problem, which is the quality of the country's stewardship. Joining us on the line right now, live, is Dr. Rais Hussein himself. Dr. Rais, maybe we can talk a little bit more about the brain drain issue in Malaysia, because as we all know, it's not a new phenomenon. What would be some of the indicators to show that Malaysia is at a critical juncture when it comes to the brain drain issue?
First of all, thank you for having me here. 12 years ago, the National Economic Advisory Council clearly warned then government that the brain drain phenomenon in Malaysia is reaching a very dangerous level. Many talents at that point of time already seen believing and making void of a critical mass of highly skilled individuals who are important not only them contributing to the economy, but more importantly, to cultivate and develop other talents. Exact figure, if you ask me, for brain drain are not really available. That is another red flag that we need to address, because there are no specific or systematic study that have been done. However, there are three sources of data that we can tap from: World Bank, United Nations Population Division, as well as Harvard University affiliated studies in 2011, and using that, we can actually reconstruct the long-term trend and extrapolate it. And according to these estimates, I think you can see that on the screen, we see not a linear, but rather an exponential increase in the number of individuals, especially high-skilled living Malaysia over the last 40 years. The projected figures indicated by 2022, Malaysia diaspora will be around 2 million worldwide. And of that, highly skilled, this is important to note, yeah? Highly skilled 25 plus years old, above category, will constitute about 500,000 by now. That's 500,000 people with high skills are out of the country. And this estimate also says that slightly over 1 million Malaysian born individuals live in Singapore. So Singapore is tapping into our talent. Another red flag that has been also raised is Talent Corp has been consistently reporting that digital-related occupation skill mismatch has been occurring since 2015, 2016. If you look at their study in a critical occupation list, again, this shows that consistently listed as hard to fill, and this is since 2015. These are the serious red flags that we are seeing, and also some employers here saying that there's a steep competition for this critical occupation from abroad, meaning which the pull and push factor. So yes, Malaysian brain drain is becoming a very serious issue. Again, it is not now. It has been 12 years ago that has been first flagged by the National Economic Advisory Council.
Dr. Rais, I'm still going to hold on to this particular graph. What would be some of the root cause? Do you think this is causing this alarming trend? Yeah, I hearken to the point that you said push and pull factor. What would be the push and pull factor be?
As we have written quite extensively on the push and pull factor, we all start with this. We actually have to go to the root. I mean, we cannot simply just try to solve it on the superficial level. The accumulated empirical evidence, qualitative and quantitative, on brain drain in the Malaysian context from 2009 to 2020 offers quite a multi-dimensional explanation on this. The push factor originally come from the home country, that means from Malaysia, in this case, include unjust policies, social injustice. You talked about the affirmative policy just now. Again, affirmative policy itself is not a bad idea. It's a very well-written document. However, there's a huge gap, a hiatus in the implementation of it that only benefited very, very few. the limited breadth and depth of the job market, job-related stress, and dissatisfaction. I can go on. The list is quite exhaustive. On the other end, you also have a pull factor, the pulling Malaysians abroad. When they see all these things that is happening in country, the pull factors comes in as a mirror trajectory to what is really happening. And then there comes the promotions, the breadth and depth of the job market, better perks. But we cannot simply say it's just a better perks. It's a wholesome job experience. They would like to see innovation. They want to see career advancement, satisfaction. There's a lot of whole things. However, if you look at it carefully, the core underlying problem behind all these factors is poor governance, poor policy planning, and or execution. We talked a lot about execution. Biased, corrupt, populistic, suboptimal, identity-based, divisive, haphazard, unfair, inconsistent, complacent, and really simply outdated approach. So these are the things that we see and decipher from the various studies that we managed to glean through. Remember, ironically enough, high quality of country stewardship also requires high quality skills. Yeah. So it is not separable.
Yeah, Doctor, in 2010, the World Bank survey found that a large share of diaspora acquired education overseas. So what does this all tell you?
That is another important red flag that we need to have a look at. Because this World Bank survey clearly shows a serious shortage of high technical skills in Malaysia, including among fresh grads, reflecting serious problem within the education system. The dynamic essentially continued till now. Just now we spoke about Talent Corp reporting industry inability to fill the critical occupation relating to ICT and so on. At the same time, our youth unemployment is at its historical high. We're talking about not only youth unemployment, we're talking about youth underemployment. You have a degree in economics, but you work as a selling or washing car. What can we conclude? What are the takeaways from this? Our education system, especially public, is inadequate to produce needed talent. This is something that we need to admit. If we do not admit where we are, we will not be able to design and move forward and tackle the real problem. If you look at this meeting, missing critical occupations, what kind of skills they require? Strong mathematical background, as mathematics is the language of science, everybody know that. Critical thinking, systems thinking, creativity and innovativeness. Also contrarian thinking, not subservient thinking. Look at our PISA performance, a PISA score, right? Everybody, this is quite an independent, impartial score. On mathematics, science, and even the reading since 2009 till 2018, consistently well below OECD's average. While our neighbor, Singapore, is topping the list, Vietnam has overtaken us. So the daily needed high skill across all industry, technical skill, even if acquired in Malaysia, are not filling the existing vacancies, but highly likely to be employed in advanced foreign economies. People are leaving to Vietnam. People are leaving to Singapore. People are leaving. The recent most popular country that Malaysians are moving out is to New Zealand. Even if the domestic stock of tertiary educated continues to be replenished quickly enough, but compared to the outflows, we are in serious trouble. So our education system needs a recalibration. We need to really, really do a stock-taking on our system, stock-taking our own curriculum. How do we relevantize those costs to what we need today? I'm not talking about a conveyor belt of graduates, but at least remember the critical thinking, the innovativeness and all that. South Korea back in mid-80s started an innovation path. But we did not, unfortunately. We went for the low cost or low labor cost kind of thing. Yeah. So we have to start now.
Dr. Reyes, I'm going to the U.S. this weekend, and what was interesting about this trip is that I'm going to be flying Vietnam Airlines straight from Ho Chi Minh into San Francisco. This shows that, you know, countries like Vietnam is actually extremely serious about trying to connect the two nations together, specifically between Ho Chi Minh and the Silicon Valley. Do you feel that this whole infrastructural support can actually help the brain drain? I'm pretty sure there's a lot of Vietnamese that is going to Silicon Valley right now. Why not just connect the two together and stem the brain drain using infrastructural support like, you know, airlines, for instance?
We were way ahead of... You must remember, Vietnam, about 23 years ago, a little bit more than that, was... They were refugees in our country. And look at them. Look at the cars, the EV cars. We had some... people talking about flying cars, but they went ahead, EV cars. Today, they have a local presence in the US, in the Silicon Valley, producing EV cars for the American market, apart from also producing it in Vietnam. So they got their strategies right. They identified education, language. Vietnam had a huge problem with English. So what did they do? They made English as a paramount importance. And it's not about local language is inferior than the foreign language. Not at all. It is just the language of knowledge. We need to accept that as a fact. And these are the things that they have done. They really improve on the education, the mathematics, the science. And they took it seriously. And while, unfortunately, we have a problem. We have a problem of political instability, inconsistent policies. So we need to do something about this. And the something about this is that quickly identify. Most of the things have been identified, even in our recent op-ed that was published today in Awani, for instance. We identified clearly what are the waypoints or way path to be addressed. Start with their education system, education curriculum. We need to relevantize it to the current needs. It cannot be accounting of 1982. It has to be AI-enabled, 4IR-intensive accounting and finance courses. So things have changed so much, but we seem to be stuck in the old past. Unfortunately.
Okay, Dr. Reyes, final question to you. How does low industry development send the country into a real tailspin fall?
Okay. We have a good example to look at today, Sri Lanka, right? Can you hear me?
Graphics that you prepared, actually. Let's end the graphics right now.
Okay. So in our recent op-ed, Emeritus talked about and draw attention to this important idea, the very question that you asked. The real value of money is determined by the state of country's economy. There's no need even to expand money stock to trigger inflation. The economy needs just to slow down. Look at all, this is all, you can see these are indicators that we need to be very worried about. Look at the economic growth forecast in 2020 downwards. Look at the export as a percentage of GDP. Look at the FDI as a percentage of GDP. These are all the numbers. Numbers don't lie. We need to be very mindful that one reason Malaysia seems to appear to face such serious problem with inflation is as a result of low breadth and depth of our industry. Partly, and you can say, is as a result of the brain drain. We are losing... We lost 500K of 25-year-old and above with high-skill capabilities to foreign land. Therefore, now one of the biggest problems that everybody talking about is the inflation, the food security, and so on and so forth. This can be addressed by increasing aggregate economic productivity rather than, when you talk about productivity, talking about breadth and depth of the industry, not by adjusting policy rates or constant subsidies. This addiction to subsidies is something that we need to be very mindful, because if you do not get rid of this addiction to subsidy and free money, we are not going to be productive. This is fundamentally the idea which we saw in the autopsy of the Sri Lanka collapse by the governor of the central bank in Sri Lanka. He himself said inflation is not a problem, but the solution. But what is the solution? This is something that and I urge Malaysians and especially the policymakers to read this particular report by the Sri Lankan central bank governor. He has been warning that many times. So here we observe a carbon copy, unfortunately, of Sri Lanka's situation, decades of addiction to subsidies and government handouts. This is not going to be good. Addiction to subsidies and government handouts as a bad substitute for the credible governing and crisis prepared policy. This will lead to a loss of competitiveness, loss of innovativeness, loss of productivity, and turning Malaysia into a nation of consumers versus producers. This is the problem. We see the ballooning of national debt as we speak is about 1.38 trillion. Yes, it is domestic, but debt cannot be created for an unproductive use. Debt can be created for productive use, meaning the yield must be greater than the cost of debt. But today, it's the other way around. So we cannot go into this, and yet we have people saying that Malaysia is in the right track.
Right. Dr. Reyes, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts this morning. I'm pretty sure that there's plenty more to unpack. I really hope that you can come on my other show, Notepad, very soon, because we need to really go deep dive into this further. That was Dr. Reyes Hussein, President and CEO of Amir Research.